Western Australia and beyond, this is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 8th of March 2020. Today, along with other news, we look at the history of amateur radio. In this bulletin, Andrew provides an update on last week's story on reciprocal licences. I remind you about preparation for the John Moyle Field Day, because it's coming up very soon. News West launches on DMR, and there's Roy's helpline. All this and more on News West.
In a new venture for News West, last week's news was broadcast via DMR TG5. This was thanks to Clayton, VK7ZCR, who's offered to do this on a regular basis. Callbacks are taken, and for the first week there were 9 callers. There was some comment about audio issues, but this has been confirmed as being a digital issue and not a problem with the sound file that was used. So for those DMR aficionados who can't get the news on Sundays, the broadcast is on DMR Talk Group 5 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. That's 5 p.m. VK6 time. Thanks to Clayton.
G'day, fellow hams. My name is Dave, VK6NDR, and I'm here to remind you that Hogfest this year is on Sunday, the 19th of April, at the Les Murdy Hall, 97 Gladys Road, Les Murdy. Join us there on the day for door and raffle prizes, and hopefully pick up a bargain. And of course, you can buy our famous Hog Burgers at a once-a-year special price. For sellers, the entry time is 9 a.m, and for buyers, it will be 10 a.m. If there are any sellers that would like to book tables, please contact me at secretary@harg.org.au. I hope to see you all there on the day. That's Sunday, 19th of April, and 73s to one and all.
I was thinking the other day about longevity in the hobby. I don't mean longevity in respect of the actual age of amateurs. We all know that a huge number of us are highly gifted in the Anno Domini department. I was referring more to how long people have been in the hobby and what the hobby is to people now compared with when they first joined. I still regard myself as a relative newcomer to the hobby. I was 59 years old when I got my first amateur radio license. However, I had engaged with the hobby in the form of Jamboree on the Air for some years prior to that. I was also the holder of a CB license for some years until they were done away with. So I've been licensed for 14 years and had experience with amateur radio for quite a while before that. But I still regard myself as a newcomer to the hobby. Why is that? I put it down to sheer weight of numbers. So many amateurs have been in the hobby for several decades from when they were young adults, and at the other end of the deal we tend to die with our boots on. Even if we stop being active in our older years, we like to die with our amateur radio license intact. So with all that waffle behind me, I can get to the point of this discussion. What does the hobby do for you now compared with when you first started? Do you still do the same things? Do you still do those things as often now? Have you developed new interests or a deeper involvement in old interests? How's that going for you? I find that I still like to do some of the stuff that I dived into 14 years ago, and I've also taken up other interests within the hobby. And that's what I like about amateur radio. As a hobby, it caters for such a broad range of interests. If you find the magic fading, start looking for new tricks to keep your interest going. The part of the whole thing that we all need to look at is how to enable older folk to remain in the hobby. I see so many of them having to give up because of age, restrictions on antennas, smaller houses, etc. But that's another story. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6NAD, and you're listening to News West.
Perth Tech is on Saturday, 2nd of May, and there are 2 workshops confirmed for the Sunday. Perth Tech is at the Bassendean Community Hall, Old Perth Road, Bassendean, just a short walk from the train station. There's also adequate parking down the side roads of Old Perth Road. We're very pleased to have confirmed all the presenters for the main event on Saturday. The Perth Tech Raffle, with a prize pool of just under $3,000, will fund your free entry into Perth Tech. We were granted the permit to conduct the raffle a few days ago, and ticket sales will commence online from the 15th of March. Hey, that's next weekend. Registrations for Perth Tech and the workshops will open on the same day. Although Perth Tech is free, we are requiring registration so that we know what size crowd we need to cater for. And there's a special door prize for those who register and pay for lunch prior to the 1st of May. We've been sorting venues for the workshops on the Sunday, and this week we've confirmed that the free DV workshop with David VK5DGR will be at the Pax Hill Guide Hall, the home of the Hills Amateur Radio Group. Thanks to Hag for agreeing to the proposal and for arranging the availability of the venue. I think I might have talked Hag into providing a sausage sizzle and cool drinks for sale on the day, but that may depend on how many people are coming. We're still sorting a venue for the Portable Antenna QRP Day with Peter VK3YE, and we'll advise you as soon as we know. And to recap, that's Perth Tech on the Saturday the 7th of May. The workshops are on the 3rd of May. Registrations and raffle tickets go online on the 15th of March, next weekend. And all you need to do right now is set aside the time on your calendar and please tell your amateur radio mates about it. Not everyone listens to the news broadcast or on Facebook or the email lists. So spread the word.
Making long-distance records was all the rage in the early 1980s. From AR Magazine of March that year, 2 metres across the bight. It had to happen. There had been a number of small openings between Adelaide and Albany during January. At times, with very strong signals, first noted on the 20th of the 1st, when VK6XY and VK6KJ were worked on 1130 MHz. The Albany beacon continued to be heard on and off over the next couple of days, then on the 23rd of the 1st, it happened. A good high-pressure system across the southern area produced the right conditions, which started as follows. Les, VK5ALW, was working John, VK5MG, on 160 metres, when John asked Les to check the trap vertical antenna. And to facilitate this, they went onto the Channel 5 repeater, and there was Orb VK6 signing with VK5ZRO mobile. Les and Orb then went to 144.1 and had a contact. The time was 23:56 Zulu. After this contact, Les worked Wall VK6KZ portable at Cape Lewin on the southwest tip of the continent. Then followed contacts with VK6FM, VK6WD, VK6KJ, VK6NL, VK6ZEL, VK6ZFQ, VK6EO, VK6ZKO, VK6ZGF, and VK6BE, and tried valiantly to work VK6HK, but to no avail. This was unfortunate for Don, as he was the one who had alerted the stations in Perth. The last contact was made at 0332 Zulu, which is 1402 South Australian summertime. An unusual time of day for 2 metre contacts, to say the least. Two other stations to work some of the VK6s were VK5QR and VK5RP. Being a working day, the usual 2 metre gang were at work. The above contacts would probably be the first ever into Perth via tropospheric means. Previous contacts being made via E, starting with the contact of VK6BO in 1952. This time, it seems, the whole of the southwestern area of VK6 was open, which is very unusual. The band was still open to a degree the next morning, 24th of the 1st, when I worked VK6KJ and VK6KZ portable and VK6ZFQ. But conditions were fading rapidly and little was heard after 23:30 Zulu.
Yes, it's me again with next week's Diary of Events. No change to the NCRG's regular meeting on Sunday mornings, and it's in the morning. Turn up in the afternoon and there won't be a big crowd. And hot off the press, the next meeting of the Bunbury Radio Club will be on Monday the 9th of March at 1800 hours. The venue for the meeting will be the Capel Tavern. The venue for the April meeting will be advised closer to the date. Weissen, the Wireless Institute, Civil Emergency Network meets at 14 Henley Road in Ardross on Monday at 7 p.m. And at 7:30, also on Monday, the WA Repeater Group meets at 7:30 p.m. in the Sea Scout Hall on Elizabeth 2 Drive in Crawley. The Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club meets for lunch on Tuesday the 10th at noon at the Bayswater Hotel in Bayswater, and all are welcome. The venue has easy access from the Bayswater Railway Station. Later, at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, Ham College meets at the HQ inside the Wildback Golf Course in Parkwood. Again, all are welcome. Prawnheads meets at noon on Wednesday, back at the usual UNI venue in Northbridge after their escapade last week to Mandurah. The Hills Amateur Radio Group meets at 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Paxil Guide Hall on the corner of Sanderson and Brady Roads in Les Murdy. The meeting starts at 2 p.m. but you are well advised to be early. Thanks to all those clubs and individuals who have provided us with information so that our diary once again has a semblance of accuracy. It is greatly appreciated by the News West team.
Breaking news. In line with global concern about the coronavirus happening right now, and in order to deal with any future global outbreaks of disease, a new peak amateur radio organisation has been formed to address issues relating to amateur radio enthusiasts and keeping them safe and healthy. Amateur radio operators are among the most vulnerable group in the world, due mainly to them being statistically a bunch of old people. The new organisation, known as the Amateur Radio Safety, Environmental and Health Organisation for Life Enhancement, has the goal of helping amateurs to maintain a healthy lifestyle and to improve their immune systems. Speaking from the international headquarters at Sniffing Bottom in Hertfordshire, England, Dr. Mike Robe, the newly appointed CEO of the Amateur Radio Safety, Environmental and Health Organisation for Life Enhancement, said in a statement yesterday, "There is universal concern about the well-being of amateur radio operators, and we'll do everything we can to improve their lot. We'll encourage amateurs to venture out into the daylight at least once a day, and to adopt standard hygienic practices, including a bath at least once a week, and to eat their greens," Dr. Robe said. Dr. Robe added that toilet paper plays no role in enhancing the health of amateur radio operators, apart from the usual function that it performs. The Amateur Radio Safety, Environmental and Health Organisation for Life Enhancement will post regular bulletins to amateur radio outlets in order to look after your health. Thanks to Dr. Mike Robe for this groundbreaking development in amateur radio. And you heard this first on News West.
If you listened hard to last week's News West, you'll recall that the ACMA is ensuring that reciprocal licences are used what they were designed for. That is short-term overseas nationals with AR qualifications who visit Australia. This means that all reciprocal licences will expire at the end of their term and will not be renewed. How many people might this affect? Well, a quick search of the RADCOM database confirms about 180 reciprocal licences in Australia and 42 in VK6. So if you don't have an AOCP, you're most likely one of these. And it's strongly suggested that you find out about this before your license expires, so that you can identify the options available for you to gain an AOCP and get your license and call back. While we're at it, the ACMA attempts to send out details of renewals, but many amateurs forget to tell them of a change of postal address. News West suggests that you should get onto the RADCOM database and check your entry is correct. How do I do that, you ask? Well, go to web.acma.gov.au/RRL. That's web.acma.gov.au/Romeo Romeo Lima. Or alternatively, do a Google search on RADCOM database and you should be directed in the right direction. In addition, if you've questions about any of these matters, then please ask the ACMA for help.
Only 2 weeks until a John Moyle Field Days weekend. Are you ready? Especially if you're planning on working portable. Have you checked your equipment yet? There's nothing worse than arriving on site, pulling out your gear and discovering a loose fitting on a coax or a broken leg on the table, or your generator won't start. Are you using batteries? Are they fully charged? Have you checked the oil, air cleaner, etc. on your generator? And are you carrying sufficient fuel? Do you have enough ropes to hold your antennas up? I use the 4 or 6 millimeter nylon stuff. It's cheap and durable. How do you get the rope up into the trees? I use a fishing rod with a 3-ounce snapper sinker. And with a bit of practice, I can get the antennas up really high. And logging. Are you planning on taking a computer that you don't use very often and giving it an internet connection? I recommend cranking it up and connecting it to the internet at least a week before the contest. Why? Because computers have a habit of downloading updates at the most inconvenient times, or simply make a point of turning off the updates. And speaking of logs, there's a new version of VK Contest Logger available, version 4.1, dated 29th of Feb 2020. I make a checklist for my equipment. It's the simplest spreadsheet and lists everything I need. Usually I can pack my stuff without looking at the list because I've done it so many times, but I still run through the list to make sure. WA Amateur Radio News is fielding a team at Green Hills, which is only 23 kilometres east of historical York and about an hour's drive from Perth. If you're new to contesting and would like to take a look, come by and have a go. There's room on the team for more players, so if you're interested, send an email to me, VK6PopperOscarPopper, that's VK6POP, at westnet.com.au, and I'll fill you in on the details. These Aussie contests are as much about getting together as they are about doing your best to work the contest. Club stations are sociable events and are good for newcomers to the hobby because you get to develop your on-air skills and confidence. In a nutshell, we're in the free caravan park or campground next door to the Green Hills Inn. You bring all of your own camping gear, which includes food, or stay at the B&B in the pub, and they also have Donga-style accommodation. And finally, if you're camping out for the weekend, don't forget to look after your catering arrangements, your beverages, and your comfort. It makes all the difference. Check the WIA website for contest rules and information.
More distance records involving VK6, this time on 1296 MHz. Again, from AR Magazine, March 1980. World record on 1296 MHz broken. On the 23rd of the 1st, 80, at 1204 Zulu, a two-way contact on 1296 MHz was made between VK5MC at Hatherley near Millicent and VK6KZ Portable at Cape Lewin. VK5MC received a 5.9 and VK6KZ Portable received a 4.2 on single sideband with 4 watts. Distance approximately 2,260 kilometres or 1,403 miles. This is a new world record and extends the former world record held by the same operators established on the 29th of the 12th, 1978. Over a distance of 2,107 kilometres or 1,309 miles. Chris, VK5MC, reports conditions were not as good as they were on the previous occasion, and no VK6 beacons were audible on any band. Chris first heard Walter, VK6KZ Portable, at 1004 Zulu, then again at 1100 Zulu, and contact was finally made at 1204 Zulu. Congratulations to you both on another outstanding effort. VK5LP.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
Not a lot changes in AR, with some bemoaning the change in the hobby from principally homebrew to commercial manufacturers. It is supposed that this argument will continue for a long while yet. Amateur Radio, March 1980. The Editor. Dear Sir, with WARC 79 all over, bar the shouting, it may be too late to change things. However, if we as amateurs have lost anything, we should consider the following report before we try to lay the blame. The following comments were made at the 1971 World Administrative Radio Conference for Space Communication, and was reported in Amateur Band News and Notes in the December 1971 Electronics Australia. Quote, "You fellows aren't amateurs anymore. An amateur is supposed to be primarily an experimenter, to build his own equipment, to try out new circuits, to develop new ideas. You did this years ago, but no longer. All you do now is lay out a few $100s on station equipment entirely commercially made. When something goes wrong, you even send it back to the manufacturer for repair. You aren't amateurs, you are just communicators. We can't afford frequencies for such activities. It is not a case of amateur bands, use them or lose them, as some would have us believe. We must be able to justify our existence as amateurs and experimenters, and not just as glorified CB operators. Just think next time you use your local repeater, or have your next HF rag chew, how much you, or the other people you are communicating with, an experimenter, rather than just a communicator. Yours sincerely, Kenneth Ray, VK1ZKR. The editor commented. The originator of the comments was not identified. The outcome of WARC 79 relating to the amateur and the amateur satellite services speak for themselves in refutation of misinformation or misguidance so freely aired and believed prior to the event.
Anthony, VK6AJP, has asked us to let you know that if you're interested in obtaining your US amateur radio license, there'll be an exam session in Perth on Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Please email Anthony, that's Anthony at VK6AJP.com, or call 0447 319 529. 0447 319 529 for more information. Anthony promises more detailed information in our next bulletin.
You are listening to VK6 ARN.
Fasten your seatbelts. We're going back in time travel. The following story is from Outback Radio, From Flynn to Satellites by Rodney Shumpness. Electrical interference. Even in the very early days of the aerial medical service, before Flying Doctor, there were problems of electrical interference to the operation of the base station at Cloncurry. Electrical motors, generators, and spark ignition engines, cars, and stationary engines were probably the main source of interference that Maurie Anderson had to contend with. It has not been specifically stated in any records, but it is believed that Maurie went around Cloncurry fitting suppressor capacitors to offending devices so that radio reception was the best possible. Additionally, residents complained about interference from the base station transmitters to their receivers. The problem here was due to the inadequate design of the receivers, which made them susceptible to the presence of transmitters in the vicinity. Shifting the whole station to another site was thought of, but this did not occur till well after World War II. The problem of interference from electrical apparatus in the neighbourhood continued to be a festering sore. At times, the interference was so severe that it made reception of radio transmissions from various homesteads impossible. The attitude of many people causing the interference through the operation of electrical equipment was, "Tough, it's your problem, not mine." They could not be convinced and refused to be shown that their selfish attitude could result in the death of someone way out in the sticks. Regrettably, this same attitude still persists today, although there are those who are most cooperative and make every effort to avoid causing any disturbance to radio reception. Today, there are electromagnetic capability and electromagnetic interference regulations in place, which are designed to overcome interference problems. Regrettably, the majority of electronic equipment appears not to comply, even though compliance stickers are attached to the equipment. Compliance stickers are very cheap. There appears to be little or no policing of the standards by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. So, even in the 21st century, we are still no nearer to controlling interference than we were at the beginning of the 20th century.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies, boys and girls. This is the Amateur Radio Helpline for the 8th of March 2020. Today I have a correction on the serial number of the stolen radio, the Barrett 2050. The serial number given previously was in error. The correct number for that serial number, if you've got your pens ready, is 2050-14661. 2050-14661. And that's for a Barrett 2050 SSB HF radio. If you see it somewhere, please make a note of it and tell someone who cares. Next item I have for sale is a Kenwood Tango Sierra 440 Sierra transceiver with power supply and microphone, asking $350. There's also a Yaesu Fox Tango 817 transceiver with HF Miracle antenna. Well, that'd be a miracle. There's also an SWR meter, auto tuner, and cables handbook, asking $385 for that one. Please contact Jeff, VK6ZuluYankee, on his electric tilling bone, 0414-919-141. Again, that's 0414-919-141. Next is a brand new Yaesu Victor Romeo 5000 all-mode receiver, 100 kilohertz to 2600 megahertz communication receiver, $500 plus postage. Contact Barry Burns, VK6 Alpha Delta India, who's handling this sale for a friend, 0428-959-771. 0428-959-771. Or email to bravo.juliet.burns, that's Bravo Uniform Romeo November Sierra, at bigpond.com. Again, that's bravo.juliet.burns at bigpond.com. Next, we have a repeat from last week. It's a Tokyo High Power Linear Amplifier Hotel Lima 1 Kilo Golf X-Ray HF 600 watts PEP all mode 10 meters through 160 meters. Plus the WARC bands in great condition, asking $1,200 or nearest offer. There's an Ameritron Alfa Romeo Bravo 704 radio to amp interface with PNP DB15 Yankee plug and play cable to suit. Fox Tango Delta X-Ray 3000 radio, $75 for that. There's a Yaesu Sierra Charlie Uniform -17 CAT interface, never been used, with a Charlie Tango 62 cable with a DB9 to USB adapter suitable for interface with the Yaesu Fox Tango 857 Delta, $150 for that, or would be willing to swap all that gear for a good quality 400 watt all band solid state amplifier. Please contact Steve on 0400-773-323, 0400-773-323, or the email address is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo November Hotel Figures 120 at hotmail.com. Again, more slowly, yes, all right. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo November Hotel Figures 120 at hotmail.com. And that is about it for me. I'll be back again next week. If you have any items for next week, please contact me. The email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And until then, cheerio, 7-3.
News West invites and receives contributions from a variety of sources, and views expressed in news items may not represent the views of WA Amateur Radio News. News West is offered in the open spirit that is amateur radio. Next week we focus the program on new amateurs. We'll recognise those who have gained a new licence or call sign, welcome newcomers to the hobby, and perhaps give some sage advice. What was your experience of joining amateur radio like? Would you like to share it with us? Send your story to newswest@vk6.net and we'll put it to air. News West is available for you to hear in so many ways for your convenience, whether you hear it on podcast while commuting to work, or you download it to listen on your favourite device, or you listen on air. There are so many options to choose from. Visit our website vk6.net to discover the options available to you. There's a single point of contact for News West. It's via email to newswest@vk6.net. Emails to newswest@vk6.net are received by the whole News West team and are less likely to fall through the cracks than if you send it to someone's personal email address. Thanks to the team this week, Mike, Andrew, Jake and Roy, and thanks to casual contributors, and of course to the broadcasters. I'm Bob VK6PRP, the producer, and there's nothing left to do now but to tell you to stick around for callbacks, then to get on air and make some noise. Thank you.